Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachas, daf Peches. Begin on the bottom of Peizayim Abayz, four lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara begins, the Gemara explained the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing the seven different measurements that there were for liquids in the Beis HaMikdash, which were there seven different utensils. What were the seven different utensils? Was there only one, but then they would make markings of the measurements reaching that height in that one vessel? So turn on one of the brayser that elaborates. The first Tana says there were seven different measuring utensils of liquids in the Beis HaMikdash, starting from the bottom. Revius leg, a quarter of a leg. Then more than that, double is v'chatzi leg, a half a leg, v'leg, and a leg itself. Then you had revius hahin, a quarter of a hin, v'shlish hahin, a third of a hin, v'chatzi and a half of a hin, v'hin and a hin. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. Remeyimer, which he seemingly says the same thing, it's just that Rebbe Yehuda is going from the bottom up, and Remeyimer is going from the top down, which Tigmo will explain the significance of that. Remeyimer says the seven are hin, v'chatzi and a half a hin, v'shlish and a third of a hin, v'revius and a quarter of a hin, v'leg and a leg, v'chatzi leg and a half a leg, revius leg and a quarter of a leg. Reb Shimon Naima, as he says in the Mishnah, he says lo hayisham hin. No, that seventh one, there was no hin. V'chimah hin, v'chimah hin. What was the utility of hin? There was nothing that was karbonis on the daily sacrifice that was required to measure in a hin. So therefore, he continues this continuing type of peches menaf esmi avitachtav. So which vessel will I bring in place of the hin, as the other mandarim have to supplement for the number seven of the measurements of the measuring tools that were for liquids in the Beis HaMikdash? He says, rather, there was the seventh one was a utensil that measured a lug and a half. Why? It was with that one that would measure for the Minchas Chavitin, which required the oil for the Kohen Gadol, which was lug and a half, that there was three lugin, and it was split in half. One and a half lug that was used in the morning, lug and a half, a lug and a half that was used in the evening, that was what that one was used to measure in those halves, the lug and a half. Now, Amalei, but they said to Reb Shimon, why do you have to make a new utensil of a leg and a half? As we said, there was a measuring tool of a half a leg. So you can measure the leg and a half by doing it three times with the half of a leg. Why, when according to what you're saying, did they make a special one of a leg and a half? So he said to them, also according to your opinions, and the Girsa takes the word v'leg, shouldn't make the measurement of a half of a leg. Because Revius says to Shem, there was a quarter of a leg. V'avshal Hashab Revius. You can measure two Revius, you'll have a half of a leg. Ela rather says, Reb Shimon, Zech ha'klal ha'yib ha'megdash. This was the rule in the base of Megdash. Kli shemeshamesh midazu, a utensil that used to measuring this, in the meshamesh midacheres does not use to measure other things, although we could use it to measure twice, that we didn't do, and therefore each one had the separate one, and that's why he says it was a special one of a leg mechza, that was the seventh one according to Reb Shimon. Now the Brisa continues in Rabbi Elazar Tzadikaymer, as he was said in our Mishnah, Shnasas Hoy Behin Bechulu, which the Gemara doesn't quote that actually was no seven different measuring tools for the liquids, but rather there was one that had markings accordingly with the measurement of what fit into that measurement in that one big vessel of a hin. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to, Ma Ikka Ben Remei Rabbi Yehuda, what is the difference between Remei and Rabbi Yehuda? They're both saying the same thing, just one's going from the top down, one's going from the bottom up. So Rabbi Yechonah says, Beirutze midos ikibinah. The difference between them is the overflow of the measurement of the tool. Meaning when one is measuring the wine and he fills up a vessel more than there is the overflow, that's called Beirutze. Now, if immediately one would take that vessel, which is overflowing, well, there's foam on top, and it would pour into a large vessel, so that Beirutze and that overflow would go into that big vessel. If not, it would just fall down onto the floor. Now, it's regarding to those Beirutzin that's the Machlekes Remei and Rabbi Yehuda. As the Gemara explains, L'man da'ame me'mata l'mal according to Rabbi Yehuda, who counts from the bottom up. The first one he counts is the Revius HaLoig, which is the lowest one. Kesav Beirutze Hamidus Niskatra. He holds that those overflow, that foam, that scum, whatever goes on the top, that's sanctified. So though it's not in the ear space of the vessel, it's on top, that also gets sanctified. And therefore, the Revius Yavalei Rechmanu L'maisha, Hashem first gave to Moshe Rabbeinu a Revius of a leg. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda is counting as the first. V'amalei, and Hashem said to him, from two of these, of Revius, you'll make the next one, which is a half of a leg. And from two of those, from the two half legs, you'll make a leg going all the way up to the hin, which is the highest. Which he was telling him, Shar de ko'aili lehu beirutzen, that this is going to be something that's going to measure, that's going to include the overflow. Meaning to say, you have to make the next utensil up from a quarter of a leg to a half a leg, that you could put in the two revius in, which many times when you fill it up, has its beirutzin. Because that's normally how it is. When someone fills up from a small vessel, which are that of a revius, into a larger vessel, like the half of a leg, so the berutz and the overflow is going to fall inside. It's not going to fall into the ground because the large vessel has enough to contain the revius. So that's what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, that, okay, we're starting at the revius alike. Next one, that's a chatzi alike. But make sure that you could, and when you're filling from the revius alike, it could take the overflow. And therefore you see that the berutz and hamidus of the revius are in the skatshu. But according to Mehu, who counts the hin first, he's going from the top down. He holds that the overflow of the measurements are not sanctified. And therefore, Hashem first gave to Moshe Rabbeinu a hin. And he said to him to make from that hin, going downward, a half a hin and a third hin and so on, which that's the normal way that when someone's filling from a larger vessel, like a hin, and he's filling into, pouring off into a smaller vessel, like a half of a hin, whatever is the overflow is going to spill out to the ground because the smaller one doesn't contain it. So obviously what Hashem was telling him was, Sha'ar Bahad, the konafke berutzen. You have to measure with something that's going to leave out the berutzen. And therefore that's the machlokes is regarding, are the berutzen midas in this kachur or not? That we see is the difference regarding by counting up from the top down or from the bottom up. If you count from the bottom up, the berutzen midas are in this kachur. If you count it from the top down, they're not in this kachur. Abaye Amar gives a different interpretation. He says, no, the Kulei Alma, everyone, Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, Beirutze Hamidus, regarding the overflow of the measurements, Ikalamem in the Scouture, you could say they hold that it is sanctified, Ikalamem in the Scouture, you could say they're not sanctified. That's not what they're disagreeing about. Vahacha b'meleim kominfligi. Here they're disagreeing regarding the fullness of the vessel, specifically as the Pasuk says by the Nesiim, which applies to all measurements in the Beis HaMikdash, says, Shnei meleim seilis. Both of them, the vessels that were used there by the Chanukah and Mizbeach, were filled with flour. What does it mean, filled? What does Mileim mean? Which, that's where the measurements have to be. That's their Machlekes. Ma'andam and Melmalamata, according to Mehu, who goes from the top down, that he first counts the hin. Kasava, he holds that Mileim, this that it says in the Pasuk, they have to be full, is Shaloyechsu v'Shaloyeser. Is that not only should you not make any less, but it shouldn't be too much. And that is because that's why he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you should make exactly a hin, and from that you'll be able to measure and be precise regarding the other measurements from the measurement of the hin. Now the reason why it had to be from the top down was because if you go from the bottom up, it's not possible to make sure that you shouldn't have from two smaller measurements, when you're filling up into the larger measurement, that it shouldn't be too much. The problem is because you have that the foam that's when you're spilling from the two smaller ones into the large one, it's going to make it too much. Now, in contrast, when you're measuring from a hin and you're pouring off from the hin to the smaller one to the chatzeh hin, so when you're pouring from the wine into the smaller one, you're pouring slowly because it's less than that. And therefore, there's no foam, there's no scum. And therefore, that we see that not only are you not going to have too little, you're not going to have too much either. But Amandam and Mimatal Mal, according to Behudu, says that you measure from the bottom up, that they first started from their Vesalog, then Chatzalog, you got bigger and bigger. Malayim, what does it mean it has to be full? Shalayachs, it shouldn't be missing. Avo Yaser, but if it's more, Malayim Kreen, but that's still called full, even if it has more than what the measurement is, because that's what you get when you pour from a little one to a larger one. You end up having that foam and you pour it in, and it's going to have more, it's going to have more than what the exact measurement is. That's the Machlekes regarding how do they define Malayim. That is regarding the actual utensil itself, regarding considered Malayim, not regarding Berutz and Midas, if the Niskach or not, but rather regarding how do we define that the measurement has to be Malayim? Is it just that it shouldn't have less, or is it even that it shouldn't have more? Now going back to the Braisa, so that was the Machlekes Rav Meir and Behud in the Braisa. The time the Braisa had quoted Rav Shimon, he says, Lo Hayisham Hin, there was no Hin as he's quoted in our Mishnah. On that, ask the Gemara, Shabba Kamal or Rav Shimon L'Rabbanan. Rav Shimon has a good claim against Rabbanan. What was the utility of the hin in the Beis HaMikdash? The largest one was a chatzi hin, was for the par. Why was there, according to Rabbanan, a seventh one of a hin? So says the Gemara, because Rabbanan have a hin to Avid Moshe, L'Shem HaMishcha. The hin was used in the days of Moshe Benu, was for the anointing oil. So like says the Pasuk in Shemais, says, B'Shem and Zayisin, they had to have a hin of measurement of the olive oil, which was used for the anointing oil, of anointing all the things in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why they had that utensil. Whereas Marasav, but Rabbi Shimon held, Kim Deladaris Loi Habitzach, but for future generations that was unnecessary. So Lefisha Huda Avdi Beignis, it was only made momentarily then, that temporarily in the Beis HaMikdash, but after in the Mishkan, but then it was hidden away, and therefore that can't be the seventh one, and rather it was like he said, was a Loi Gumechza. But Beidach Rabban held that no, Kimin the Hava Hava. Once it was. They kept it, and therefore that was the seventh one. Now, Amar, the town of the Brayis, quoted Reb Shimon, and he says, so Ve'esmi Obitachtav. So Reb Shimon asked himself, okay, what am I going to bring in place of that one? I don't hold that it was a hin. So therefore, he had to come up with the Legu Mechza. That is the Gemara Lo Sagad Le'Ma'il. It's not enough that he doesn't have. Maybe there's only going to be six, not seven. Why do you have to find and discover a seventh one? Says the Gemara, Kedamar Ravina, similar to what Ravina says later on this parak, that he says, Gemiri Shtei Smichas Betziba. We had a tradition that there were two carbon Tziba that have smicha, that leaning on the carbon, and therefore they had to find out what were those two. So Achadam here also Gemiri the Shavimid Shalacha Yebem Mikdash. It was a tradition that there were seven utensils for the liquid that were measured in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore according to him there's only six. That's why he had to discover what was the seventh one. Now, but the Brisa quotes another opinion of Elazar ben Tzadikim. He says no, Shanasis Hayibehin. There actually was no seven utensils. There was one that was a hin, and there was markings in it accordingly. A half hin, a third of a hin, a quarter. It was measured accordingly, and that's what it was. So now the Gemara Leslie Shavimidis, doesn't he hold that there were seven measuring utensils? So the Gemara Leslie, no, he doesn't have that tradition. Doesn't have that there was seven, and it was actually only one. Or if you want, you could say he had the tradition, but my Shavimidis, what does it mean that there were seven measuring tools for the liquids? It means seven medidos. It means seven measurings, but in one vessel, because there were markings in the measuring tool of that of a hin. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of our previous Mishnah, which described that it was seven different midos for lach. So starting from the bottom, like that opinion which goes from the bottom up. So Revius Mahaisa Mishamesha. So the Revius Halaik, what was that used for in the Beis Hamikdash that they had to make that Midah? Says the Mishnah, Revius Mayim L'Mitzar. So first of all, like the Pasuk says, V'shacharas Atzipur Ha'achas Al Klicheres, he had two birds that Mitzar would bring for his purification process, and he would slaughter one of them into an earthenware vessel, which as the Gemara says in Masechta Sota, Daf Tazayin Mabez, that they would put water over there that, as it says in the Pasuk, that it should be recognizable, the blood of the bird inside of it. And how much is that? That's a revius. So that was what the revius was used for, to put in the revius of water for the purification process of the mitzaira. And revius shemel nazir was also used for, as the Gemara says in Perek HaTayda, for the breads of the nazir, they had to have the oil, that a quarter of a leg of oil that was used for the breads of the nazir, which was this revius halog. Continues the Mishnah. Next one. Chatzi leg mahay mishamash. So what was the half a leg midah was used for? Says the Mishnah, Chatzit loig mayim l'saita. So there was, as the Gemara says, Masechta Saita, daf tezvavim abeis, that there was a half a loig of water that was filled up from the kir, which was the basin that was in the Beis Hamikdash, used to wash the hands and the feet of the kahanim. So they take a half a loig of water for the saita, which was used for the procedure for har, and which he drank from the waters, and therefore that was the half a loig. And also, b'chatzit loig shema l'taita. There was also a half a loig of oil, which is also explained over there in that parak, that half a leg of oil was used for the lach mei taida, that was also the chatzi leg. Now, ubalai, going up the next stage, hayamaydid, they would measure, and this was l'chol ha-menachas, for all the menachas, afil a mincha shal sayin isarin, even a mincha of 60 yisrainis. Now, the reason why, and this was for the oil of the menachas, the reason why we picked that, well, why we're describing even 60, is because actually the most a person could donate of flour in one vessel was 60 Yisrainis of flour, but not more than that, as Gemara explains in Perek HaMenachas of Anasachim. So and that says the Tanna Kamma, that even was 60 Yisrainis, so Nisim Los Samach Log, so then each Yisarin would get its own log of oil. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he disagrees, he says, no, Afilu Mincha Shel Samach Yisrain, he also says, even if it's a flower offering of 60 Yisrainis, Ein La'el Loig, it only had one loig of oil. But again, that's what this loig was used for, that it was used to measure either every Yisrain, or no matter how many Yisrainis, it was used for a loig. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, La Mincha, for the flower offering, V'loig Shaman, and the loig of oil, which tells us no matter how big the Mincha is, it was, according to this opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's always just one loig of oil. Now, continues the Mishnah, Shisha, there was six loigin lapar, which is a half a hin, like the Pasuk says, that it was bolul bashemen chatzi ahin, which says by the Michas Nesachim and Parashat Shlach Lecha, and it also refers to the Nischa Yayin, was also six loigin. So this loig that was used, you would use it six times for the bull, varbo la'ayil, and four times for the ram, which was a third of a hin, v'shleish lekeves, and three times for the lamb, which the Pasuk says was a revius ahin, which a hin is 12 lugin, so 12 divided by 4 is 3. So that's what was used for the, which we, as we said, this was the Revi'i Sahin and the Shlisha Sahin and the Chatzi Ahin, which as we described in the previous Mishnah, were these types of, these tools, which was the Chatzi and Shlisha and Revi'i Sahin. That was the measurements used for the different, the Nesachim and for the Shemen that was used for the Karbanis that were bull or ram or lamb. And concludes the Mishnah, Shleishu Mechtz Lemenayra. There was 3.5 loigin used for the Menayra, which was Chatzi Loig L'chol Ner, which was a half a loig of oil for every one of the lamps, of the 7 lamps in the Menayra in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara says that Yesub Rebbe B'Kokashli. Rebbe had a question on the halachas of our Mishnah. So we know that there was the Revi'is Haloig, and there was the Chatzi Loig, and there was the Loig, and the Revi'is, and the Shlish, and the Chatzim, which were these par, and the isle, and the kevis. And then there was the hin, which was used once in history. Now, Rebbe asked, Revi'is Loma Nimshecha, why was, as we know, all the utensils in the Beis HaMikdash were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. Why was the Revi'is, this lowest vessel, the Revi'is Haloig, why was that anointed? What was the utility of it being sanctified? Now, as Rebbe explains, there were two things that we said were used for the Revi'is Haloig. There was the Revi'is of Nemaim L'Metzayra, and there's the Revi'is Shemen L'Nazir. So on that, as Rebbe, E Metzayra, if it's because of the Revi'is of the water that was used for the Metzayra, as the Ketim Tamid Beis, well, Chutzhu, that was a service that was done out of the Machna. It was actually done by Shar Nikon, not in the Azara, which they would purify the Metzayra. So what was the utility of sanctifying that water? It didn't have to be something that was sanctified as stuff that, which are used in the Azara. And the Nazir, and if it's because of the, that to sanctify the Revi'is of the oil for the Lachmei Nazir, meaning that the oil should be sanctified in the Kli Sharis, and then by the oil being mixed into the bread, that then the bread should become sanctified that way. And that as Rebbe, well, that wasn't necessary either, because Lechem Nazir, the bread of the Nazir, b'shchidus ayil hu dekadosh, it actually becomes sanctified during the slaughtering of the ram that it comes with, and not with the oil, as the Gemara says, Perakataita. So what was the utility of the oil being sanctified in the Kli Sharis? But after the bread's baked, it's still not sanctified until the isle is slaughtered. So what was the utility of sanctifying this Revi'is Haloig? So Amalei Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, Shebaha yomoided l'chavita kohen gadol, because with the Revi'is Haloig, you're right, the reason why it had to be sanctified was for a different utility. Because they would measure the chavita of the kohen gadol, Revi'is Shem l'chol chal v'chala. It had a quarter of a loig of oil for every one of the breads, because there were 6 loaves that were brought in the morning, and how much oil was in total was a loig and a half. Now, that comes out for the total of the 6 is a quarter of a loig for each bread. That's what the Revi'is Haloig had to be sanctified for. And Kari Alein, Rebbe recited over Reb Chiya, the Pasuk Yeshayi, Me'eretz Merchuk, from a faraway land, which refers to Reb Chiya, who came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, as it says in the first paragraph of Masechta Sukkah, is Isha Tzasi, is the man of my counsel, that he had this answer, why it had to be sanctified. Now the Mishnah continued, Chatzi Loig Mahay Meshamesh, then went to, okay, what was the half of Loig sanctified for? What was it used for? But on that halacha too, Yasser Rebbe B'Kakashli, Rebbe was saying, he was asking, Chatzi Loig Loma Nimshach, why did it have to be anointed? So we said what it was used for. But on that is Rebbe, e-saita, if it's because of the water that was used to have a loig for the saita, the question is, v'chichulin hu? What do you think? Is the water that was used unconsecrated, the tzricha l'kedushi, that had to be sanctified by putting into a kli sharis that was anointed? But mayim kadeshim ksiv, the pasuk b'midbar says that it was holy waters, as the Sefri expounds. Holy waters refers to the waters that were sanctified in the kir. So it was already sanctified, so what was the utility of requiring a special chatzi loig vessel that could sanctify it? And E, and if you're going to say that it was used to measure the half of a loig of oil that was for the taida, for that we should sanctify the oil, which then that oil was sanctified, the breads that are mixed in with the oil, on that asked Rebbe, well, that wasn't necessary because lachmei taida, the breads of the taida, b'shchitas taida with the kasher, it doesn't become sanctified when the oil is put inside of it. It becomes sanctified only with the slaughtering of the carbon taida. So what was the utility of sanctifying this chatzit loig vessel? So Amalei Reb Shimon b'Rebbe, so Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, said, the reason why is right for a different utility, because they would divide a half a loig of oil into every one of the candles in the Beis HaMikdash. We said there was 3.5, but that was divided by 7, so that makes a half a loig for each ner. It was they would measure it in that measuring tool of a half of a loig. So Rebbe said to him, Ner Yisrael, the light of the Jewish people, referring to his son, but his bright answer, Kachay, that's actually what it was, and you're right, that's the reason why it was sanctified. Now continuing on this discussion, once we brought this last halacha, the Mishnah, of the candles in the Beis HaMikdash, which were not actual candles, but the ner is called that, which was the vessel that held the wick and the oil inside of it. So Amar Bichanan, Amar Rebbe, says ner shekavsa, regarding one of the lamps that got extinguished either halfway through the night or before it became light, where the candles, the lamps are supposed to light throughout the night. So if nideshin hashemen, if let's say the oil became full of the ashes from the wick, or nideshin habesilo, or the wick became ashy. So ketzad isis, so how is that done? Now, you can't light until you clear out the ashes. So says Rebbe, metiva, what you do is that first you throw out whatever's inside of the lamp outside, you clean it out, and then you refill it b'neis b'Hashem, and you put in oil, umadlik, and then you light it. Now, on this halacha, Yosef Reb Zreika b'komen b'ayli was asking, k'shu'neis b'Hashem, and now that you're going to put back in oil, you're going to relight it so that it should light the rest of the night, k'midi rishayna, is it like the original measurement that was put in the beginning of the night of a half of a leg? Or is like the amount that it was missing, meaning that amount which was thrown out because it's not good anymore, because it's ashy, but do you just fill up what was the leftover which was thrown out, which is what it needs to light the rest of the night? Is that how much you just put in? So I'm remembering, he says, Pshita de Kamid Rishayna. He says, obviously, you're going to put in the amount as you start off the night with a half of a leg. Dika Mashachasa, because if you think it's how much is missing, Menoya Dina Machisa, how are you going to know how much is missing? You don't know. And if you're going to say, oh, okay, we'll measure it, before we throw it out, we'll put it into a measuring tool to measure it, then if that's the case, then 7 meters? How could you say there's only 7 measuring tools that we use for liquids in the base of Mikdash, but nafash l'midas too, but then you're going to have a lot of measuring tools to be able to measure the leftover oil in the menorah? So obviously, we didn't measure it, because we didn't have those measuring tools, and therefore, it must have been that we used how much was used in the beginning of the night. So kari alei, so he recited over him on Rabbi Yirmi, who gave this interpretation, the Pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Vadarcha, and your glory, which actually is interpreted to mean Chidutcha, your sharpness, that you're so sharp, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Tav Samachim Amalaf, this interpretation. So it says, Vadarcha Tzlach, successful, Rechav, is writing, which the Gemara there in Shabbos explains refers to two Talmudic scholars that sharpen each other in Halacha, Al Dvar Emes, for the word of truth, where you gave me a good response, Va'am Vatzedek, and righteous humility. Now, it menami so to we learn the Amr Bavo, Amr Biechna, Amr Amalan, some say it was Amr Abba, Amr Bchanina, Amr Rebbe. The Ner Shekavsa, a lamp that got extinguished of the Menorah in the middle of the night, Nidashna Sheben, Nidashna Psila, and if let's say the oil became ashy or the wicks are ashy, so Ketzah is, how does he do it? Metiva, so first he cleans it out, Benoisim Bashem, and then he puts in oil, Kemida Rishayna, like the original amount, Madlika, then it's lit. Now, continuing on these halachas, Amr Avhun, the Berid of Yehuda, Amr Av Sheshe, says Ner Sheben Mikdash, meaning the neiros of the menorah, which in them, in these cups, is where you put the oil and the wicks, shel parakim hava, was made out of pieces. Now, it doesn't literally mean to say that it was made out of separate pieces, that you could take those stems and take it off from the menorah itself. Rather, it means to say that the stem that it's coming out of the main stick of the menorah, they could be bent downward, and they could be stretched out in their place. That's what means shel parakim hava. It was flexible. Now, as the Gemara explains, because Ksavah he holds, Kiksiv Kikar Mikshu, when the Pasuk says that it had to be made the menorah from one kikar, which is a certain weight of gold, and also that it was Mikshu, that it was carved out, which sounds like that the menorah should be made from one piece of gold, a menorah v'neirisekziv. It was going on the menorah itself, the candelabra, and the lamps that are where the wicks and the oil are put into, meaning that the neiros are attached to the menorah. It's made out of the same piece of gold, and you cannot remove it when you're cleaning out the lamp to take out the ashes. It doesn't come out of the menorah itself. Now, kiven de mebayat taba, but since it has to be cleaned out, ilav de prakam hava, if it wasn't that it was pieces, meaning at least that it can be bent, lahav metaivale, then they wouldn't be able to be cleaned out well. So obviously, he's saying shel parakam, meaning that it could be bent, because that's the only way we'd be able to clean it out well. Now, but meisvei, on this halacha, the Gemara asks on the following brisa. The brisa says, "Ketzad isa, how does one do to clean out the menorah?" So mesalkan, he would take the lamps out of the menorah, umanichem ba'oil, he would put it into the oil, he would leave it over there in the oil in the base of Mikdash, umakantcha besveig, he would clean it out with a sponge, benoisim and shemen and madlik, and then he would put in oil, and then he would light it. One thing you see is that mikdash is not going on the nair itself, because it's obviously not from that piece, because it says you could take it out, remove it, and clean it out, and with a sponge. Says the Gemara, you're right, this price is not like Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes is the Amar Kehaitana. He holds like a different Tana, the Tana Glenda Brisa. Chachamayim, they say, lo hayim aziz naisim b'kayma, the nair, which is like the cup that was in there, it would not be removed from its place. Now, that is the Gemara, mechaldi boile lazuzi, but it sounds like, but if they had wanted to move it, matzi mazizla, then it could be moved. But if you could move it, then why wouldn't they move it? That would make you be able to clean up very well. Elamer rather say that the Chacham hold, loy hoysa zazim b'kayma. No, it wasn't possible to remove it, and that's why we didn't move it. And that's what Rav Chesh is like. Uman Chacham clarifies, who is this sages? Rabbi Lazar, the time like the Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik, he says, Kimintashal Zav Hoyla al Gabad, it was like a golden plate that was on top of each nair to cover it, so that nothing gets inside of the oil. Now, moreover, the nair itself was very long and tall, like a small boat. Now, Kishahu Mativa, when he would clean out each nair, so Deichka, he would push that plate that was covering the top of the cup, of the candle, of the lamp, klape pia, towards its mouth, meaning upwards, so that should reveal the opening of the nair, and he would then bend the nair downward so that he could go to good clean it out inside. Now, kishu neisim b'shemen, when he would put in oil after it was already straightened up, so deichke, he would press down the plate, he actually would put down the plate, klape reisha, towards the top, meaning where it attaches to the benayra, so that it actually was covered with the plate. Now, so then how's it filling in the oil is because the plate had a hole in the middle, which is where the wick would come out from, and it's where that hole was in that plate where he would put the oil into the nair. Now, says the Gemara, but plucked down the tanoi, and this is a machlekes in the following tanoi, which we said regarding if they were separate or it was connected. The tanoi learned the braisa. This Tana says clearly that the menorah and its neiris, which is the cup of the lamps, came from the same piece of gold because they were mixture, which is like Rav Sheshes, who says that the kikra and mixture goes not just on the menorah but also on the neiris. They didn't come out, but the tongs and the shovels that were used for the cleaning of the menorah, they weren't taken from the same piece of gold. That's one Tana. He says, no, menorah is above in a kikar. That from the kikar of gold was only the menorah itself. V'loy neirisel, and he includes the neirisel, makachel, machdesel, they were not boys from the kikar. They didn't come because the neiris were not from the same piece of gold. Rather, they were just connected to the menorah, which is like that Tana who he said, but when necessary, when they cleaned it out, they would take it out and leave it. It wasn't made from the same piece of gold. So says Gemara, my conflict regarding what are they disagreeing about? Says Gemara, b'haikra, and the following pasuk Tana, like learned in the Braisa. Pasuk says in Shemais, Kikar Zav Tar Yasa Isa. So regarding the menorah, that it says that pure gold of Kikar, they should make the menorah. Says the Braisa, Lamanu the menorah Shabam and the Kikar. This teaches that the menorah had to come from a Kikar of gold. Minayin L'Rabbis Nerisea says this Tana, we don't know to include the Nerus too. Tamalay, that's the Pasuk says, as Kala Kenel Ma'ela, all these vessels, including the Ner, meaning not just the menorah itself, but the cup that's on the, which the wicks and the oil are put into, that was also part of it. Now, Yochash Animar Ba'af Malkechem says, I would think also that the tongs and the shovels were also made from that same kikar. Tamalei Ma'isano, it says it, which is the exclusionary terminology, excluding the Malkechem, Machtesed, that's the Rib Nechemia. Now, first the Gemara asks, before it continues, the Braisa to see the other Mandama, Kashi Rib Nechemia, Rib Nechemia. We just brought before, the Rib Nechemia was the one who says that only the Menorah and not the Neiris were brought from the kikar. And here we say he's the one who says the Menorah and the Neiris were brought from the kikar. So the Gemara, you're right, Trey Tanoi, Rib Nechemia, it's a Machlekes Tanoi in what was the opinion of Nechemia. But continues the Braiser, Beshub ben Karchaim, he says, no, menorah b'am in a kikar, only the menorah is brought from the kikar of gold. Ve'im malkechel machlesev v'neirisel b'am in a kikar, but neither the tongs, nor the shovels, nor the neiris, the lamps themselves, were not brought from the kikar. Now, ve'eleman mekaimis kolakel me'eloa, so what do I do with the puzzle? It says, and all these vessels, which he says is an inclusionary term, which the other mandam had used to include the neiris. That means to include for something else, not to be made from the kikar itself. Shahayu kim shalzav, just to say that yes, all the vessels were made out of gold, but not from that same piece of gold of the menorah. And that is the Gemara, but zav behed yiksib boy. What do you mean? It says explicitly that all the other vessels for the menorah were used from gold. Because it says, v'sisis neriseres sheva, you should make the stems seven. V'helas neriseres, and you should light up the lamps. V'heir alev v'peneh, and should light up towards the face of the menorah. And the tongs and the shovels are pure gold. So you see clearly there's pure gold. Says the Gemara, you're right. The Malkecha Machtaseh we knew was made out of gold, which was pure. It was only necessary to tell us regarding the mouth of the Neiris, which that's the place of where the wick is put, then that also has to be made out of Zavtar. Why? Why would we think not? I would have thought to say, the mouth of the nair gets very black, because that's where the fire is burning of the wick. So, HaTorah chasal m'mon shel Yisrael. We know from a previous daf that Torah is concerned about the money of the Jewish people. And therefore, as we can tell, a peites of an olive, v'la'avad zav kaldu, and therefore, we would have thought to say that you could use any gold for the mouth of the menorah, even if it's not refined, because that creates a large loss of money for the Jewish people where it gets burnt over there. Kamash v'lan, that's the chiddush we're saying, that no, that even over there it had to be made from zav tar. That's what the pasuk is teaching, but not to say that it came from the kikar itself, because according to Rabbi Shimon Karka, it was only the menorah, but not the neiros. Just like the Malka Chamachtaseh, they were not made from the Kikar itself, although they were made from Zavatar, and although we have a Pasuk already says Zavatar, but that was only from Malka Chamachtaseh, the Chiddush that we're telling is even for the Pianeris, that they also had to be made from the Zavatar, and that's what we're learning from the Pasuk of Kol Kalem HaElah, including that also had to be made from Zavatar.